The Future of Snow Days. Snow days used to be a pretty rare occurrence, a reason for students and teachers alike, if not parents, to celebrate an unexpected break from the classroom. But it now seems as though they've become increasingly regular. After all, some Maine school districts have already had 3 or 4 snow days this year, and we haven't even hit the holiday break. I'm Jennifer Rooks. There is a lot of talk in education right now about alternatives to old-fashioned snow days. Some New Hampshire schools send kids home with blizzard bags. School districts around the country are experimenting with online classes. Others, preloading laptops or tablets with lessons. What do you think? Is this the beginning of the end of snow days? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. When you're a kid, there is nothing better than a snow day, freedom from school, and a day to play outside. But when snow days pile up, it puts a dent in learning and can extend the school year into the summer. Today, we'll hear from educators about some proposed alternatives to snow days and what some Maine schools might be doing. Joining me in the studio, Maria Libby, who is superintendent of MSAD 28 and 5 town school districts in Camden and Rockport, and Tina Meserve, superintendent of schools for RSU 9, which is the Mount Blue Regional School District. As always, we want to hear from you. What do you think of snow days? How would remote school days work for you or your family? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to both of you. And before we talk about some of the ideas, some of the things that might happen in the future, I want to just back up a little bit and talk as a school and superintendent to each of you. And I'll start with you, Tina. The thinking behind whether or not to call a snow day. I know, you know, you're watching the weather forecast very closely, I know, and sometimes having to make a call on something that might start mid-morning. What are you thinking of? What is your guiding principle when you decide whether or not to call a snow day?
So calling snow days is a really challenging part of the job. And what I would say is pretty much every time we make the decision, we're thinking about safety. And for me, being a superintendent of a rural school district, it's not just about the safety of the roads, which is the first part of the safety process, but it's also knowing that if you don't have school, there may be kids at home that don't have supervision, that don't have food on the table. And so you're thinking about that, and then you're thinking about how long the school year is going to be and the safety of having kids in school when it's overly hot in the summer. So you're trying to balance all of those safety factors out. And first and foremost, you want to get the kids to school safely. And if you can't do that, you have to call off school.
Okay. Anything you'd like to add to that, Maria, about thinking about snow days?
No, I think it's really all about safety and triangulating the various weather reports that we get in the different forecasts from Weather Underground to weather.com to NOAA Weather Radio. So there are a lot of different forecasts out there as well, and trying to figure out, you know, what might be the most accurate. And it's really about triangulating those things to determine, are we going to get 1 inch or are we going to get 5 inches? So it's a very difficult thing. And pretty much no matter what you choose, there are people who don't agree with you.
Well, and it's interesting because I always thought it was about the school buses being able to ride the roads carefully. But when you're talking about teenagers, you're talking about teenage drivers on the road coming to high school, which is another layer of worry, right?
It is. And we just had a snow day last week. And in my message that I sent out, I actually encouraged parents to we were actually going to have a 2-hour delay. And I encourage parents to think about the experience level of their teenage driver, and if they weren't experienced winter drivers, to consider having them take the bus instead, because we do have experienced drivers driving buses. And we recognize that not every Maine teenager necessarily has had experience in the snow, and they may not be as safe as a bus could be. So that's a consideration as well for parents of teen drivers.
All right, Maria and Tina, you guys are on this program because you have been two of the superintendents thinking creatively about this whole concept of snow days. Maria, what are you doing in your school district that's different than before?
Well, we're hoping to do something that's different than before, and that is to have a remote school day or two. We had originally planned to do two remote school days.
What is a remote school day?
We called it a remote school day because students will be working remotely. And for some of our students in the upper grades, 7 through 12, that means electronically. And in grades K through 6, that meant with, like, basically they were taking what we called a genius bag home, kind of like a Blizzard bag. It's been called across country. So they had something different. So the one name we could use to cover everything was remote school day.
And so you said what we're hoping to do. What has happened? Why are you not doing it yet?
Well, in early December, we got word from DOE that they came up with some guidelines that didn't allow a school district to do a remote day, what they called anywhere, anytime learning, until after they've already had five snow days and they met a lot of other criteria as well. We had also requested a special exemption early on in September to allow us to try these days, and that exemption was denied. But I haven't given up.
And I want to ask you, Tina, what you're considering for your school district.
So like most schools in Central Maine, last year we had 9 snow days, which is a lot. And we put 5 into our calendar. So it's almost twice as many as we would typically have or that we plan for. And a lot of school districts, mine included, extended some school days to make them up so we wouldn't go so late in the school year. At this point, we haven't talked about the remote school day yet, but we've been watching with interest as Camden has embarked on that concept. The challenge in rural Maine is really trying to figure out whether our families have a situation that would allow this to be an educational experience for kids, or whether a lot of kids would be left without any experience at all if you, try to incorporate the remote school day. So at this point, we have not changed our plans at all. We will watch and see how many snow days we have, and we'll make them up within the guidelines that the Department of Ed allows us to.
Well, joining us on the line now, Rachel Paling, who is Director of Communications for the Maine Department of Education. Rachel, thank you for calling in. Rachel, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Tell us what the Department of Education's position is on snow days and whether or not it's okay to substitute them with an alternative, such as a remote school day.
So the department is aware that districts are interested in remote school days, or what we've been calling anytime, anywhere learning days, as an alternative to storm closures or other unexpected closures. And we're interested in making this a viable option for students. But the reality is right now, the law controls how remote school days can be used, and we've issued guidance to schools about that. So currently we're working on proposed legislation that will allow the department to conduct pilot programs using anytime, anywhere learning with the intent of helping to inform future legislation. And we hope to have some more information about that in the coming year.
Okay. Does that mean what Camden is planning is not feasible, or are you trying to figure a way to work with the district?
It's not right. Currently, the way the law is, it's not allowable.
Okay. And when you say the law, so the legislature is determining what can happen, correct?
Yes, it's that school day law, and then also the way that an instructional day is defined.
Now, there are some exemptions, correct? Charter schools are exempted?
Charter schools the Charter Commission, I should say, has flexibility with the school calendar, the way that regular public schools don't.
All right. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for calling in. Rachel Paling, the Maine Department of Education Director of Education. Maria, you said you're not giving up. Will you be talking with the legislature to try to change the law?
Not at this point. In terms of not giving up, we have a new administration coming in, and it was the commissioner who denied my request for a special exemption. So I plan to appeal to the new commissioner when they come online in January, because I think it's a really viable idea that would give a lot of useful information to the public schools in the state of Maine if we are allowed to try this. And actually, the current commissioner did give me permission to do this after we have 5 snow days this year. So as long as we have 5 snow days, we will try it. But there's always a risk that we won't have that many snow days and we wouldn't be able to try it.
How many have you had so far?
In our high school, we've had 3. In our elementary schools, we've had 1.
Oh, interesting. Yep. Oh, because the elementary schools are closer to where kids live.
Well, elementary schools are just in Camden Rockport, which is right on the coast, and they don't get as much snow as inland, and Appleton is one of the schools that sends to the high school, and the weather can be significantly different in Appleton than it is in Camden Rockport.
All right. Well, I want to talk with both of you, Tina and Maria, about some of the educational aspect of this. I've read that when there are a lot of snow days, that can really affect learning. How dramatic is it when you have 9 snow days?
I think that our teachers would share the frustration of 9 snow days last year and how disruptive that is, particularly at the high school level when you have a certain number of the periods within a quarter or within a semester. And, you know, oftentimes they're alternating schedules. So if you've missed every Wednesday, you might be missing the same class repeatedly. So it is really hard for them to get their curriculum in if you have a lot of snow days. And so it can impact that. And nobody likes to have, you know, the schedule constantly, you know, revamped and have to go over things again because kids are missing classes. And then, you know, what you're finding is they've forgotten what they learned the first time and you're having to repeat them. So it is really disruptive if there are significant number of snow days in a 2 or 3 week period.
Maria, how do you figure out if you're able to have, you called them genius bags, if you're able to do remote learning, how to tailor that to match where kids are in their learning, in their curriculum for a school year?
Well, for the younger grades, we have not attempted to do that with a genius bag because we don't know exactly when the snow days will occur. So they have had more, the genius bags have more generic work in them that is applicable to the standards for the year that are more project related and independent learning kind of based on interests. So we haven't tried to do it with the youngest grades. We are able to do that with the older grades. We're hoping they wouldn't skip a beat. They'd do what they had planned to do anyways that day at school, but they would do it at home in communication with their teachers.
And so for the older grades, let's say a kid's taking trigonometry or U.S. history, and it's very specific where they are in the curriculum, are these sort of similar to what would be remote classrooms in a college?
Not exactly, but a little bit. I mean, we are trying to mimic kind of that remote work and remote learning. And we have a classroom management program called Schoology that's used at our high school that students and teachers are constantly collaborating even now and on normal school days. So they would use that platform and, you know, they can still have discussions and do a lot of other things the same way they might do them in a classroom.
So technology is what's even enabling school districts to have this discussion, even consider something else. But, you know, we've talked about on Maine Calling so many times before, there are a lot of families in Maine that do not have access to robust internet.
And, you know, we are more fortunate than many districts in the state. We have about 25% free and reduced lunch rate. And most of our families do have internet service, but we surveyed our families to find out who didn't. And we had about 25 families in grade 7 through 12 who did not have internet service, and we've actually provided them with a cellular hotspot. It's a unit called a Khajiit that filters for education, and students have taken these home, and they're already using them. We're actually going to let them have them for the whole year so that they always have internet service at home. So they can get cellular internet service. They can't watch Netflix on it, but they can do their work and communicate with their teachers. So we've addressed that particular obstacle. And, you know, it may be different for a lot of other districts in the state that have a lot more students without internet service, but we were able to address that.
What are you looking at in your school district, Tina?
I would say that we probably have a much more significant concern about broadband access for all of our families. We have surveyed families about what their access is to the internet, and 92% of our families say they have access to the internet, but we know that a decent percentage of that is because they have a cell phone and they have access via a cell phone. So it doesn't, we haven't asked the question of whether there's a computer or the ability of a student to access the internet to do schoolwork, because a lot of times a parent may be heading off to work and not able to leave the cell phone behind for access to the internet. And a cell phone isn't necessarily an appropriate tool for doing some of the assignments that a student would have before them. So I think broadband access is a big problem in rural Maine, and we would need to survey families to find out what kind of access do they have.
I know this is being experimented with, whether they're Blizzard bags or some sort of remote teaching in other parts of the country. Is there anywhere in particular you all are paying attention to, following, looking at it, it's really trying to figure out how they measure the success or failure?
You know, we did a lot of research when we were planning how to design our remote school day. And we did look at what a lot of other states are doing. I would say the most helpful information we got was from the Illinois Department of Education. They did a really thorough job and gave us some good ideas. We're not necessarily following them. We learned a lot from resources we could find online about what they had done. But, you know, every community is different. And I think, you know, the state of Maine and communities within it need to figure out what is the thing that's going to work best for their community and how to structure that.
Tina, you said last year 9 school days. How unusual is that? And I want to ask both of you, in the years that you've been in education and superintendents, are we indeed seeing more and more snow days every year?
So I've been in the central office for 10 years. This is my 11th year. And last year's the first year I've ever had an experience where we went over 5 days. So 9 was unusual. Whether that's a trend or not is yet to be seen. But certainly we've already seen many schools having between 1 and 3 snow days so far. We've had 2. And there's a prediction for freezing rain on Friday. So certainly the year has started out with an indication that we are probably in for a lot of snow days, because most of our snow days are usually in February and March.
And here we are in December.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to join the conversation about snow days and possible alternatives, you can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send us an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. The Lunder Foundation, founding partner of Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical, and New England Cancer Specialists, committed to leading the way to better outcomes for 50 years. More at newenglandcancerspecialists.org.
I'm Karen Duffin from Planet Money. We are NPR's show that finds economic lessons in odd places, like the world's longest yard sale. We went this summer, 6 states in 3 days, and in Tennessee, we tried to buy a pretender's record.
As long as this has 2,000 miles, Then we need it.
But the owner decided he did not want to sell it to us.
I feel like the sale already happened. The box was out here.
You hid this on the bottom.
No.
I didn't look close enough.
And there's an economic term for this. It's called the endowment effect, which basically means as soon as you own something, it becomes more valuable to you. You already value this station, and when you make a year-end gift, it's like owning your own little piece of public radio. So go ahead, make public radio even more valuable to you by making it yours. Here's how.
You can make your year-end donation today at mainepublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475. Maine Public Travel is heading next to Italy, to Sicily. Consider joining us next May on another of our Maine Public Travel cultural explorations. You're invited to join Morning Edition host Erwin Gratz and other friends of Maine Public. Our Many Flavors of Sicily 10-day tour will involve sightseeing, tours, lectures, and music that will offer insight and understanding of Sicily and its people. Learn more about Maine Public Sicily tour and schedule by visiting our website, mainepublic.org. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, what to do about snow days. Joining me in the studio, Tina Meserve, who is superintendent for RSU-9, the Mount Blue Regional School District, and Maria Libby, superintendent of SAD-28 and 5 town school districts on the Midcoast. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now, Tanya Arnold. She is head of school at the Maine Academy of Natural Sciences in Hinckley. Tanya, thanks for calling in.
No problem.
What does Maine Academy of Natural Sciences do about snow days?
Well, we were just approved by the Charter Commission this month to have work-at-home days. We have them arranged so that they are seamlessly planned into the current work that's going. So we will only use the work-at-home days when we see a storm coming, which we often do in Maine, and we can prepare the students ahead of time by providing the work they need, arranging the group networks and the timing of any online work, and making sure that the work is real-time relevant to the other work they're doing the day before the snow days and the day after.
So you'll be constantly watching the forecast and tailoring what they'll be doing at home to the week that you're in.
Exactly.
Have you had one of these yet?
No.
Okay. How are you dealing with the challenge of internet access for students? I know you're in a very rural area, and some students board, but not all, correct?
Right. We only have about 20 of our 200 students who board with us.
So do your other 180 students have internet access?
Quite a few do. We have a work-at-home program that we also have created to help with kids who have obstacles to coming to school. And when they don't have internet access, we provide a hotspot for them.
Okay, so that's sort of what you were talking about, Maria. Tanya, thank you so much for calling in. Tanya Arnold is head of school at the Maine Academy of Natural Sciences. And you know, Maria, what part of what we were talking about before is how technology is changing this whole conversation. This is a conversation we wouldn't even be able to have 20 years ago. But you wanted to bring up the point that the students in the schools already have technology.
Yeah, you know, I think this idea makes a lot of sense for the state of Maine, both because Maine has really been on the forefront with providing devices to its students. And we've had the MLTI program, formerly was it was called, for a long time. So, you know, for 15 years or so, Maine students have had one-to-one devices. Given that we've made the investment that we have in technology, and given that we live in a state where it snows, it just makes sense to combine those two ideas and allow that allow us to leverage the technology that students are very comfortable with on a day that they could work from home.
We'll go to Darcy, who is a student at Baxter Academy. Hi, Darcy. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, so my name's Darcy. I'm a student at Baxter Academy for Science and Technology in Portland. And so we're actually a charter school that has been experimenting and using some of the snow day learning already this year and previous years. So can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. The way that we do it is since we're a charter school and we take from 50-plus cities around the state, even if it's not snowing in Portland or Westbrook, where I'm from, it could be snowing up in Lewiston, Auburn area, and we will cancel school for our 400 students, which can cause, like, a big disruption, especially since we're one of the schools that has already had 4 snow days this year. Last year, we had upwards of 10. So for us, like, being a charter school, snow day learning is really helpful because all of us are connected to technology, and our teachers will go online and they'll post assignments for us to do, and we can all track. We all have to show proof that we did work, and we can kind of design our day depending on, like, if something else comes up. But there's, like, student pressure to everyone do our work so that it does count, because there is, at the end, we have to show the state proof that we have all done our work on the snow days in order for them to count.
So, Darcy, let me ask you this. Do you feel honestly like you're learning as much when you're home working on your computer as when you're in the classroom?
Honestly, no, but I think it's more beneficial for us since I know, like, going like a couple days, like in the middle of winter, everyone's sluggish anyways, and you're in between vacations and having snow days, coming back to school without doing any work over the break can be a lot worse.
Ah, okay. Well, I so appreciate you calling in and sharing your story and your perspective from Baxter Academy. Good luck to you. Thank you, Darcy. We're going to move on, and we're going to go to Jessica, who's calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Jessica. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I am a parent in Yarmouth, which is one of the few non-consolidated schools here in Maine. And so one of the perks that we have is that when we look at the weather, we're only looking at Yarmouth. So that has helped reduce our number of school days in many ways. That said, we already had three before Thanksgiving this year. So I think it's time to acknowledge that global climate change is probably going to make this a hot issue. And the reality is, well, I 100% believe that kids get a lot of benefit about being in school. And my daughter goes to school. She's very high attendance rate, and we find that very, very important. When they miss that day, they don't actually get to make that up because their tests at the end of the year don't get pushed back for every snow day. The grades that are due on May 15th are due on May 15th, even if we have 10 snow days. So we need to find alternatives to give kids those credits for those days so that they, so it's not so much about what they're missing when they're not there, but as much as it is the extra stress of adding that extra time in the summer when they're in our school systems that aren't.
Sure, Jessica. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. And you were nodding, Maria. So especially with some high school classes and especially with something like AP classes where you're going to have that AP test on a certain day, whether or not you've had snow days.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's a good point that when you have a snow day and there is no school, you're trading off that day and what might happen at home for a day in late June. I mean, that's the reality of what you're trading. It's either going to be a day tacked on in late June. And, you know, I've been in education now for 24 years, and I have never found the time at the end of June to be very productive school time for students.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would just say that I think in traditional classes, the testing probably is pushed back. If there's another week of school, you don't do all the testing and then sit around the last week probably. But I think there is a point that it's the last few days of school or even the last week of school, it gets harder to have productive work happening.
Jessica, thanks for your call. We're going to turn now to Mike Muir, who's an education strategist with an organization called Gear Up Maine. Mike's a former teacher with a long-time focus on learning through technology and has served as director of the Maine Learning Technology Initiative for 2 years. Mike, thanks for calling in.
You bet. That's nice to have me on the show. Thank you.
Based on your experience with technology and learning, what do you think of the idea of remote school days?
So I really applaud schools' creative efforts to make sure that learning happens even on snow days. But there's a piece of me that still hopes some of those assignments include building snowmen, sledding, and snowball fights.
What do you think can be done to improve the value of remote school days in terms of learning?
So some of what I worry about is that some of our rural areas don't have good internet connectivity. And some of our economically disadvantaged students don't have connectivity either. Now, there's some research that says about 85% of families, even economically disadvantaged families, do have access to the internet. But a lot of that is access via cell phones. And so the first thing I worry about is that the high cost of data rates and small screens aren't really the most advantageous way to do learning during the day. The other thing is there's parts of our Maine that don't currently have adequate cell service. When I was at the Department of Ed, we looked at the possibility of equipping school buses with Wi-Fi, something that's happening in other rural states. And then they'll often park that bus at night in a community, but keep the Wi-Fi open so people can access that Wi-Fi. We discovered that wasn't an option for some of the communities we were looking for in Maine because those school buses rely on cellular connectivity, and parts of Maine where we were hoping to do this don't have good cellular connectivity. So one thing we need to do is bring affordable internet to all regions of the state. Now, Network Maine does work with schools and public libraries and has brought high-speed internet to those schools and libraries. Some of those schools broadcast it out into the parking lot so people can come and visit. And Senator King just recently helped pass a bill that will bring internet connectivity to America's farmlands. And we're hoping that something like that could happen that would support other regions of Maine as well.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for calling in. That's Mike Muir, education strategist with Gear Up Maine. An email from Alex. I'm curious if your guests feel that school is canceled more often now than in the past for the same weather conditions. My kids' school seems to be canceled now for weather that wouldn't have caused cancellations when I was a kid. Of course, maybe the snow just seemed higher because I was younger.
I certainly think there is growing pressure on superintendents to call a snow day whenever the roads are snowy. And I've worked with our staff that, you know, review road conditions. And my feeling is if there's 1 to 3 inches of snow, we live in Maine, we probably can attend school. Buses are relatively good in the snow. We have experienced drivers. But the challenge comes that oftentimes parents will still allow students to drive to school, and then you run the risk of more accidents for our students. And so that's scary for everybody. So I think there's certainly more pressure. And I would say every time I make a snow day call, I risk having somebody frustrated that I called the snow day because they're going to miss work or their child is going to be home without supervision. And when I don't call it, I have a parent who's concerned about safety on the road. So
I have an email from Jim. Even storm delays conflict with the notion that the hours spent in school matter. As a high school math teacher for 25 years, I argued that I could not simply tailor a lesson at the last minute to fit into 2/3 of the time. Snow days are a challenge, but telling me or telling them or telling the parents or telling the taxpayers that time in school doesn't matter, that sends the wrong message.
I mean, I personally don't think the message is that time in school doesn't matter. I think instructional time is very important. But the fact is that we don't live in a perfect world. We have snowstorms. There are things that interrupt that. And, you know, people do the best they can to try to, you know, figure out how to best deal with that situation. And I really think that the idea of having a remote school day is one creative solution to help deal with that situation. I think, you know, in an ideal world, everybody would say, well, you know, to be honest, I don't even know if in an ideal world students should sit in school the entire time. I'm a big advocate for students getting outside of the classroom walls and experiencing things as well as part of their education. And, you know, I think that students are learning all of the time, whether it's on their cell phone, remotely, and I think it's an opportunity given a difficult situation of snow in Maine and travel.
We'll go to Ryan, who's calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Ryan. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for the call. I think my question is a repeat of the previous caller, just in terms of, you know, the decisions that get made. Why call a snow day when, you know, in actuality, there's only an inch or less of snow on the road and it's cleared because the plows are doing such a great job. So maybe just elaborate on what goes into making a decision before 6 a.m. when actually it really is, in retrospect, kids could have made it to school. But I'm understanding it's a safety issue.
Yeah. And Tina, what time do you make the decision?
So we start the process at 4 a.m. and we get a call from Russ Murley, who's our meteorologist. And he gives us the predicted forecast for commute time when our buses are going to be on the road, but also for noontime and the end of the school day when you need to get kids home. Once we get the report from Russ Murley and his advice about whether we should hold school or not, we call local our local officials to find out what are the roads like, you know, at that time, right on the ground. So whether it be your public works department, your transportation office, so you're communicating with a lot of people. In my district, we have 10 towns, so it could, like, you know, could be different in one town than the other. And then I also talk with 4 area superintendents, so the school districts that surround us, because part of the challenges is triangulating the data, and you want to find out what their best thinking is. And together, we often will come up with a consensus, but sometimes, you know, it's just slightly different in our district than others, and you got to go out alone and make a different call. But the process winds up around 5 a.m., so you have about an hour where you're looking at radars and having all those conversations. And the challenge with that is that several hours before buses are actually on the road. And if you do a 2-hour delay, it can be 4 or 5 hours later when buses are on the road. So I have to tell parents that if you feel like I've made a decision that's not in the best interest of your child when the buses are leaving, that you can make your decision to keep your child home for health and safety reasons.
Ryan, thanks so much for your call. We are going to take another quick break, but first, a word about tomorrow's program. We are going to have Governor Paul LePage and First Lady Anne LePage on the show tomorrow to talk about the past 8 years. If you have comments or questions, you can email them ahead of time, talk@mainpublic.org, or post on our Facebook page. If you'd like to join the conversation today about snow days, 1-800-399-3566. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Maine Center for Coastal Fisheries, using a collaborative approach to securing a fishing future in the Gulf of Maine. Saltwater, fresh thinking. And People's United Bank NA, striving to be the bank of choice for all business needs. Peoples.com.
Coming up on the next Commonwealth Club program, according to the FBI, hate crimes increased by 17% in 2017. As America struggles with polarization and increased threats of violence against various groups, is it still possible to bridge divides and solve problems together? Join us for a wide-ranging conversation with the Reverend Jesse Jackson on politics, race, and the promise of America on the next Commonwealth Club radio program.
Coming up today at 2 here on Maine Public Radio. The long-awaited new Season 8 of Doc Martin is coming to Maine Public Television this January, Thursday evening, January 3rd at 9 to be specific. And we're celebrating, but we need your help. Send us a photo of your best Martin Clunes frown, and we'll post it on our website and Facebook page for all to see. And our team of talented lip readers will give your photo a grumpy rating from 1 to 10. The top 3 Doc frowns will win Doc Martin prize packs. Send your pick on to us at rsvp@mainpublic.org. For more info, visit mainpublic.org and click on Events.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, snow days. Joining us, Maria Libby, who is superintendent of schools for Camden and Rockport, and Tina Meserve, superintendent for the Mount Blue Regional School District. If you'd like to join our conversation, please give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Tina, how is the fact that Maine is, famous for its laptops for students program, how does that affect the thinking about going forward with maybe remote school days or other options?
I think the laptop initiative has really made this a more viable concept than maybe in other states. Our 6th through 12th grade students all have their own laptop, and many of our classrooms are using Google Classroom, which allows teachers to post assignments, to provide feedback to students on their work in real time. They can have Google meetings with 5 other students and discuss topics that are on the agenda. So I think it does help a lot, and it's provide some potential. And I think it is worth us investigating the options for that with the understanding that we want to make sure we're not disadvantaging parts of our state that may have more disadvantaged students that don't have internet or don't have access to broadband.
And Maria, is sort of your long-term goal, I know this year, just because of the rules that you've been told about, you can only experiment if you've had 5 snow days. But perhaps in the future would be that kind of thing be what you're looking at anyway, is that we're only going to go to remote school days after we've eaten up the snow days in our school calendar?
I don't think that would be the long-term approach that I would take. I think it would be healthy to have a mixture of remote school days and traditional school days so that students could make their snowmen, go skiing, all the things that they do on a snow day. So I think a mixture is the most ideal situation.
And maybe if it's an ice storm, one, and if it's a beautiful 2 feet of snow, another.
You know, it depends on the timing of that. You know, 2 feet of snow, and it's supposed to stop at 10 o'clock, and nobody can have school, but people can still go skiing. You know, you wonder about that.